We're back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. My name is Jeffrey Davis. And, you know, all day we've been talking to entrepreneurs. It's been one of our busiest shows in a long time, and it's been very exciting. Our next guest, a first-time radio person, and we're going to try to work with her as much as we can, Christine Ward, who's the new executive director at Raising a Reader, or interim executive
exactly.
director.
Thank you.
Does that mean you're in a revolving door?
No, it just means I'm working really hard, and, you know, we're... It's been a great experience. I've actually been with Raising Reader for 7 years, but I'm new to this role as of about 4 months ago.
You know, my old boss used to say to me, always do the job above your job so you don't have to worry about ever getting the title, so you're just doing it.
And exactly.
So you've been doing the job, right?
Yeah. No, it's been great.
So what have you been doing?
Well, honestly, right now we're very focused on getting the word out. So we have our Dinner with an Author Gala coming up on May 11th at the Mandarin Oriental in Boston. So that has been a large focus, trying to make sure we can have, we're expecting 25 authors and 300 guests.
What kind of authors?
So we have everybody from Ben Mezrich to Julia Glass to Dan Shaughnessy, Megan Marshall. We have a wide array of authors.
You should speak to my COO. Did he tell you?
Is he an author?
Before he joined Radio Entrepreneurs, he was president of Management Roundtable. Management Roundtable used to work with what I would call best-selling authors for 25, 30 years, helping them do national conferences, set up their speaking arrangements, doing podcasts. So he's been working with some of the most famous authors in the country for 25 years.
Well, please make that introduction
afterwards. Well, he's right out in the hallway. You met him already. He's the quiet one.
Okay. So I will definitely make sure I...
Oh, yeah. You don't want to talk to me. You want to talk to him.
Well, this year, we're very lucky because we already have 25 authors coming. So except for this year, but next year, that'll be a good resource.
Well, here's something. I don't like parties, and I don't like events, but I've run events, and I go to them all the time because it's business. Mm-hmm. So we're talking. Why would I go to your event?
I think this is such a unique opportunity to have access to all of these authors from, you know, various different genres. And it's just, you get to actually have, it's called Dinner with an Author for a reason. So there's a cocktail party where you get to mix and mingle with everybody.
Is there an author at every table?
Absolutely. Yes.
Really?
That's where we got the name.
Wow. You didn't invite me.
Well, I will certainly do so.
No,
right
I have
after
a book.
And don't worry, I brought some invitations. But
oh, that's nice.
No, so it's a very unique event. And we've had fabulous response. And we're excited to do it again this year. And especially to host it at the Mandarin, which is a very fabulous venue, so it'll be fun for all
the guests. So the Mandarin is partnering with you on this?
Yes, so they're being a very good partner, and we have a couple of sponsors that we're, you know, excited to have as part of our benefit and, or excuse me, our gala. And we have, you know, somebody, we have Deloitte and Partners Healthcare and Pioneer Investments and Optum and Rodman Ford, and we just got Tito's Vodka, so we're very excited.
Wow. Are you serving the Tito's that night?
Yes, we will. We're going to have a special signature drink.
You should do what Sammy's Romanian Steakhouse in New York does. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. You go to Sammy's in New York, and as you sit at the table, they put a frozen bottle of vodka in a block of ice on your table. So within 10 minutes of being at the table, it's one giant party.
That sounds good. I'll have to go there.
Yeah. Oh no. It's almost like a living play. The restaurant. It's worth going to. It's not the prettiest place, but it's probably the most famous place I know. You know, that sounds really interesting. And you know, again, let's assume we're not on the radio. Why are you at Raising a Reader? Why did you join the organization?
Well, the truth is, I mean, I've always been a fan of reading, and I have children myself, and I used to do a lot of volunteer work at my kids' nursery school. And then one day I met Donna DiFilippo, who is our founding executive director.
And we've met her.
Oh, have you? Excellent. So
we did at one point.
Yeah, she's still very involved in the organization and a mentor to me. So anyways, I met Donna one day, and I just felt that she was, everything she said, her enthusiasm was infectious. And I just said, sign me up. I want to be a part of what you're doing.
So,
Raising Reader is an early literacy program. We're a dual intervention program, and we teach parents the importance of reading aloud to their children and the techniques to do so. And then we rotate books in the home.
You know, I feel like I never read enough to my second child or even my first child, and it was always a regret. My mother used to read to me when I was young, and I think it was much more that generation.
You're lucky. Mm-hmm.
She used to read, you know, I still have my original Winnie the Pooh book, an original edition that she used to read to me. And You know, I think it does help.
Oh, absolutely.
Cognitively.
I mean, another thing that we do is just provide access to books. I mean, with this, we're basically a rotating library for our constituents. And in a low-income community, there's one book for every 300 children as compared to a middle-income. Yes, there's a huge disparity as compared to a middle-income family where there's 13 books for every child. So that just shows you that access to books is
an unbelievable statistic.
Factor, yes.
Sad.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it. You know, we're supposed to be in the, you know, model of the industrialized world, the modern world. That I'm sure that's a very American statistic as well.
Yeah.
I bet you that's not true in England and in Canada and Australia and places like that where you would think they were pure countries. But you might not have those statistics.
I mean, not right off the top of my head, but, you know, I'm half Swedish, so I know that the education systems in Scandinavia are certainly different than they are here as far
right.
as parents having, you know, time to read to their children and their preparation before they start school.
Do you feel like you're fighting an avalanche at times?
Oh, I do feel like there's definitely an opportunity for us to grow. That is not the problem. There's a huge market out there. So we try to work with gateway cities, and these have been identified by Massachusetts as cities that are below average or average above average size, but below average income and below average education level. So we want to help with the opportunity gap and the academic achievement gap, and we want to target these low-income communities where, you know, access to books is not as readily available and where parents are working three jobs and, you know, they might not, English might not be their first language or they weren't read to as a child. And we come in there and we just try to teach them how important it is to get that early exposure, because by age three, a child's brain is 80% developed, and by age five, it's 90% developed.
Jeez, so and yours, critical. Chris, is only 35% developed.
It's critical to get that.
Now, I might be setting you up for some repetitiveness, but I'll ask you: are we really better if we build a reader?
Absolutely. I wouldn't be doing what I do if I didn't.
In what
think
ways
do
you think that enhances who we are?
I mean, low literacy is linked to numerous social problems. For example, poor health and low-paying jobs, and then exposure to the court system. In fact, 85% of juveniles are functionally illiterate that are in the court systems today.
Wow.
Yes. So I'm not sure if
these
you're
are sad statistics
oh,
you're
are.
Telling us.
So if you're familiar with the MCAS testing, so
yes.
This is in the state of Massachusetts.
You can't watch the news over the last 10 years and not hear MCAS.
Right. So in the state of Massachusetts, 43% of third graders, which is a critical benchmark, are reading at below proficient levels. So that means if you are below proficient in third grade, you're four times more likely to drop out of high school. And if you are reading below proficient in third grade and you're of color and of low income, you're more than eight times more likely to drop out of high school.
Unbelievable.
Yes.
I assume you like a lot of support. Where do you get your
Absolutely.
Support from? Who are you looking for support from?
So largely we've been funded by foundations. And then we have
corporate and private.
And then we have donations as well from corporations and individuals, and we do some earned income. So what we call fee for service. But there's an opportunity to branch out, and we're definitely trying to reach more corporations and individuals. Foundations typically are very interested in more of an early stage organization and help, you know, build that foundation for them. And they also want growth, and it is as we are now, we're actually in our 11th year, and we are, you know, we're in 10 gateway communities, as I mentioned, including Boston, in addition to Boston, and it's getting harder and harder to reach some of these foundations, partly because, you know, we've already had the benefit of their support for the past few years, and they just cycle out, and it's just sort of the nature of the game. So now we're trying to reach more individuals and corporations, and for example, our gala is a great way to do that.
Okay, so we have a gala, we have an organization. How does somebody find you?
Oh, please come to our website, raisingareaderma.org, and you can certainly ask for me, Christine Ward. I'd be happy to help you with any questions, or if you would like to volunteer. We are always looking for support, but thank you.
Thanks, and we hope you come back again.
Thank you so much.
Wasn't so bad, was it?
No, this was a great opportunity, and I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. We appreciate your time. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been speaking with Christine Ward of Raising a Reader. She is the interim new executive director. Get rid of that interim, guys. Let's make her stabilized. And we're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages on Radio Entrepreneurs.